You'll turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. Maybe it's because I put them in myself with some of the guys here in the church. If you had a furnace guy who's constantly working with them, they might move faster for him. But I paid just as good money as he did. So, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity this morning, Lord, to hear your word. And I pray, God, Lord, that each of us here not only hear, but we apply. Lord, let your will be done today. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to talk this morning to you. What is your relationship with God? What is your relationship with God? The scripture says he is one Lord, one God. And that we should love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our might. So to me, that says there's not a whole lot of room for anything else to be at the top of that list. Amen? You see, folks, God claims first place in our heart. That's his spot. He claims that. And if we have anything else there, amen, he's a jealous God, the Bible says. And so he requires our complete loyalty. He requires our complete trust. Our faith in God must not be God plus this. It must be God alone. And if we put God in his proper place, all other things will fall into order in our lives. And we have to understand that. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have families and all these kind of things. But we have to put him first. Amen? So when we give him uncompromised allegiance, when we give him uncompromised submission, then every other aspect of life finds its rightful place. Even our financial security, even our family well-being, even our rationality, even our popularity, or whatever gods you are inclined to sneak into God's presence. Say, well, I'm not putting anything before God. Well, what do you do other than live for God or serve God or go to church, things like that, things that God asks us to do? If you have anything else that goes in that spot, then that's another God. Amen? So, what are the gods that compete for your loyalty? Is it your job? Is it job keeps you out of the church? Is it your job that keeps you away from the things of God? Is it a hobby? Is it, I got to go fishing so many times in the summer because I got that winter coming up. Well, it's winter time. Well, I'm going ice fishing. What is it? What helps you to put your full trust in God and God alone? How have you understood the imperative of Jesus to seek the kingdom of God? He told us we have to put him first. We have to seek the kingdom of God and his will. In what ways do you seek God's reign each day? Every day. Where do you find it especially challenging, folks, to seek the reign of God over your life? You see, is living for God just a frivolous interest? Is serving God, is living for God, a frivolous interest? Well, what is interest? It is a feeling that accompanies or calls special attention to something or someone. Something or someone that arouses such attention, or a quality in a thing or person arousing interest. So that's what interest is. The word frivolous, it means of little weight or of importance. Lack of seriousness. So I asked you again today, is living for God just a frivolous interest? Is it something that it's okay, I'm interested in it, but it's not the most important thing to me? lifestyle. It means the typical way of living, reflecting attitudes, preference of an individual or group. So is God your lifestyle, or is he just a frivolous interest? There are many things in life that are just frivolous interest to people. It is something that's on the side, that doesn't mean very much to us. It's a frivolous interest is an occasional thing, or it's not something that's of importance or very something that is you want to be a part of consistently. It's all right to do every now and then. You see, but the other things in life that make up who and what we are, such as our occupation, our lifestyle, is something that is daily consistent and who and what we are. The things that we are compassionate about is usually what we are known by. Amen? What is passionate to us today? Things that excite us and things that we are in love with will be something, folks, that people spend a large amount of time with, and they will always find time to take part in the things that promote the things that they love. So when people love something, you know it, amen, because that's what they're always doing, amen. If someone loves to dance, you see them on the dance floor, if not through the week, at least every weekend, amen. If somebody loves to fish, they're finding every chance they can to get to that bank or get out in that boat. Or if they love sports, that's what they're looking forward to. Amen. Whatever it may be, bowling night, whatever it may be, that's what you know. If we can't find so-and-so, he's probably fishing. Maybe he's at the bowling alley. Usually others around us know what is really important to us. Do people know that you love God? Do they know that he is first in your life? Do they know if they can't get a hold of you, you're probably doing something with the church? Or is that something they just see that you show up to every now and then? People around you need to know what is important. And if you want people to be saved in your life, people around you, in your world, in your mission field, as I call it, if you want them to be saved, they need to see that you living for God is the most important thing in your life. Amen? When people make mention of you in conversation, what is it that you are known by? Come on. If somebody's just talking about you and they're describing you, or they're just telling somebody about you, do they say, hey, man, those folks are Christians. They're through and through. They're Christians. They're real. They're always in church. They're always doing this. They're always trying to talk to somebody. They're always witnessing to somebody. Is that what they know you by? Or do they know you by, he's always at the bowling alley? What is it? Is Jesus your lifestyle, or is he just your frivolous interest? Are you consistent in your walk with God, or is he just your frivolous interest on a 3 times a week basis? Or just when you come to church? Most people we are around know that we go to church. Okay? Just attending church, folks, doesn't prove anything. I grew up, my dad worked construction, and he had a junkyard. And my uncles knew when we went to church and when we went home. And so they would steal from my dad while he was gone at church, because they knew I have so much time to get in and get this and get out. You know, your neighbors know. They see you leave. But just going to church doesn't prove anything. Do they hear you screaming at your spouse? Do they hear you screaming and yelling at the kids and kicking them out the door? Go play somewhere. Leave me alone. I walked out the other day to pick up something out of the street that somebody threw out their window, and I heard this mother just cussing her kids crazy. You see, folks, we have to allow people to understand, hey, yeah, I believe going to church is very, very important. I believe we need to be here when the doors are open. We shouldn't look for any excuse to miss. It's amazing to me how many people look for any little excuse to miss church. You're showing people something. But I believe it's important, but that is not the only thing. Well, I go to church. I'm a good Christian. That doesn't mean nothing. The people and the Pharisees and stuff, they went to church all the time, but God called them hypocrites, whited sepulchers. You see what I'm saying? It all has to blend together. So many people go to church. Jesus and the church can be a frivolous interest. Just attending church services is not living for God. Even though, folks, we are supposed to be there every service according to the Bible. And if we are, folks, that doesn't mean that we've made it. I believe there's going to be people that sit on the pews that aren't going to make it when that trumpet blows. I believe that. So, and if we are there every service, doesn't mean it that you're guaranteed. You have to live this 24/7. Amen? 24/7. The things that we don't do, the rules and the restrictions are not, that's not living for God. We live according to certain things, and that's good. And there are things that we should do, and there are things that we shouldn't do. Amen. But folks, that's not at all. That's what it's not all about. Living for God, folks. Let me tell you something. I grew up in this. My dad started taking me to church when I was about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old in there, and I lived for years under fear and condemnation. And you know what, folks? I didn't invite anybody to church because I was always afraid I wouldn't make it. And when they showed that movie 666, I was scared to death. And I'm like, I'm never going to make it. I didn't cry like that, but in myself, I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I can make this. I was miserable living that way. And I had a years later, after I grew a little older, and I was in my late teens, we had a new pastor come in, and he started teaching about relationship with God. And I'm like, I've never heard this before. And I grabbed a hold of that, folks, and I started learning to love to live for God. And that helped me when I started loving living for God and have a relationship with Him and get to know Him. It changed everything about me. And so I started telling people about this great God. Did I grow up living in the truth? Yes, I did. But folks, I'm telling you, until you get a relationship with God, amen, it doesn't matter. That's what God wants, a relationship. When He made man, when He made Adam and Eve and put them in that garden, the Bible says He walked with them in the cool of the day. And He had relationship with them and He talked with them. That's what He wanted. God has always desired relationship with each and every one of us. That's His desire. He wants to know you and He wants you to know Him. You know what? When you love somebody, you want to do everything you can to please them. Amen? You've heard me say it before. I know my wife, she's a tea drinker. She loves to drink tea. I'll go in and make her a cup of tea. And she's like, how'd you know? I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. It's because we have a relationship. And that's what God wants for us. God, He don't want you to look at Him as rules and restrictions. It's like, God, if I'm doing something that is unpleasing to you, I help me to know that because I'll stop. God, if I can do something to make you happy, Lord, I'll do it. See, when you live for God that way, folks, they're not rules and regulations. Anybody here got a fence around your house, your yard? Anybody? What's it for? Why do you want a fence around your yard? Keep bad things out, right? Huh? Keep the good things in? You know, the children, you don't want them in the street. You don't want somebody walking by. You want to keep good things in and keep the bad things out. That's why God gives us real things to live by. Protect you. He gives you leadership in your life to help you, protect you. It's a pastor's job to help perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. You can look at a pastor as somebody that's always on me and always this way, or you can say, thank God for a pastor. He cares and He helps guide me through this world. It's all according to who you're listening to. You see, if the devil's telling you they're just always on you, they're always banging on you, they're always doing this, they're doing that, they don't love you, they just want to have the thumb on you. Or you can look at it as, The pastor loves me. My leadership cares for me. They want to see. They want me to go to heaven. They want me to live for God. They want me to be successful. Come on. The Bible says they're a gift. They're given to us. It's all in how you want to look at it. It's all in a relationship. Amen. You can look at it as she's always nagging me. She's always doing this. She's always doing that. Or you can say she loves me. She wants to help me. She wants me to be better. Come on. My wife always tells me, I tell you these things because I want you to look good. She's good at making me look good. I promise you. I'll type up a letter for somebody. I'll say, here, make it look good. You see, folks, it's all how we look at things. What is your relationship with God? Is he your lifestyle? I don't know about you, but I love living this life. Amen. I love living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's an awesome life. I'll tell anybody this. You want to live good? Sister Candy gave me and my wife a great compliment the other day. She told us she thought we were in our 40s. Oh, I love her for that. Actually, I'm older than she is. I said, but it's the good life, though. It's the good life. Come on. When somebody tells me I look young, I say it's the good life. Amen. Living for God is a good life. So living for God is not what we don't do, but living for God is what we do. Come on. Living for God, folks, is what he does through us. Remember, folks, we are saved by doing his will. Acts 2:38 just gets you in the door. That's the key. Okay? You have to live it. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. They tell you about his birth and his death, and what he did all through his life and then his death. And Acts tells you how to be saved. And then the rest of the books tell you how to stay saved. You shouldn't do this. You should start doing this. You should do that. That's what it's all about. That's how you need to look at the New Testament. Those books tell me how to stay saved, how to make heaven my home. If you think just being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost is going to get you to heaven, you're going to be sitting on that pew. Because you got to do things. You have to grow. That's just like, you know, having a baby and taking it home and sitting it in the crib and say, see you when you're 18. No, they have to learn life. Amen. You got to teach them things. And when into something how you when you teach a child tie their shoe when you go to tie, I can do it. Well, see, that's how life is, living for God. Living for God is what he does through us. We have to allow God to work through us. We're his hands, his feet. He spent 33 and a half years on this earth. Now we are that body. Amen? Remember, we are saved by doing his will. The rules and the restrictions, or you could say boundaries, have their place. We must understand that it is not what we put on, folks. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ does through us. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's what the word of the Lord, the word's telling us that, folks. You call me Lord, Lord, that doesn't mean you're going to make it. But if you do his will, it's like, oh, I know you. See, when we can't do his will without him. We can't do his will without the Holy Ghost. We cannot do his will without the Word of God, without church, without preaching, without grace, without mercy, without blood, without the name applied to our life. We cannot do his will. We have to have this whole list that I just mentioned here, folks, in order to do his will. It's got to be a daily thing, something that's consistent in our lifestyle and not a frivolous interest. Not just, oh, when we think about it. I've told the story about when I was growing up, and there would be days where I wouldn't even, you know, until it's church time, oh, we got church tonight? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even think about God. And I'm like, Lord, help me with that. I don't want to live that way. I want to know you every day. I want to serve you every day, and God help me. Amen. And I love it when I wake up in the morning, I think about living for God. Amen. Go to sleep at night. Thank you, God, for another day. It's not just something that we're doing part-time. It's not something that we are doing on the side. It's the most important thing to us. But it is something, folks, that we have to do all the time. We have to work on it. You know, and if our mindset's not that way, you can change things in your life. You can create new habits. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." The scripture says that we got to be an example. We have to be an example in word, in the word of God. We have to be an example in a conversation, in our lifestyle, your manner of life. Amen. We have to be a good example in charity. We have to love people. Amen. In spirit, we have to have that Holy Ghost on us and let people see that. Amen. In faith, in believing God, walking with God, walking by faith. Amen. In purity. These are all things that we have to be a good example in these areas. You can't be a good example in conversation and charity if Jesus is just a frivolous interest to you. It has to be our lifestyle. We can't do it as a frivolous interest, folks, but it only can be done because it is what we are and how we live. Amen? What we are and how we live. It's people have to see that in you. Amen? You know, it's hard to tell somebody you're Christian and they hear you cussing somebody out in the back room. Or it's hard to be tell somebody you're convince them you're a Christian if they see you living like a devil. Amen. We have to live it. We have to, and when it becomes most important to you, when it becomes a lifestyle, amen. It will just happen. It will just flow out of you. We only can be the example for Jesus when we have a consistent relationship with Jesus, a consistent lifestyle. This is just who I am. Amen. This is just what I'm all about. This is what I enjoy. We need, folks, to include Him in everything we are doing. Amen? Well, that's not always easy, Pastor. Why not? Because you shouldn't do anything that God didn't want you to do anyways. Lord, should I go do this? Should I take this vacation? Should I be here? Should I do this? Should I help this person? And if you're asking God to lead and guide you that way, then He can be a part of everything. Everything we do. We include Him in everything. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That's where so many people go wrong. They're doing what they feel and not what God wants. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not what you want. It's what God wants. In all thy ways. Did I just say all? Well, we got to separate church and work and church and this and church. That's no way to live for God. And God will not accept that, because if you do that, then you're putting other gods before Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's what we have to live. We have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean under our own understanding. It's not, our mind will lead you astray, folks. Amen? We have to acknowledge Him in everything we do, and He will direct us. He will guide us. Amen? We must, folks, why must we acknowledge Him? Why? Because it is our lifestyle. It is not a frivolous interest, but it is who we are. And listen, folks, I told you, I grew up, my early life, I love my pastor, but it was just a constant lifestyle of fear. And you know, I didn't have that teaching until later on. And I've seen people who grown up in this, who aren't living for God today. Kids that I ran around the church, they're not living for God today because they never got a hold of this having a relationship with God. Now listen, I'm a firm believer in this, okay? Some people have bad experiences, quote unquote, with UPC and all this and that. But here's my answer to that. Probably every one of us here have a family member who is somebody that you just go, oh, Jesus. Right? Does that make your whole family bad? You see what I'm saying? We may have bad experiences, but it doesn't make it all bad. Somebody just may not understand everything. Or just may, my pastor at that time didn't have a hold of that. Maybe later on in life he did. I don't know. But he didn't. And he didn't teach me relationship. I love the man for it. I love the man because, you know, my dad led my dad into the truth. He walked out and knocked on my dad's door on a rainy day and invited him to church. I thank God for all of that. I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. But I just wasn't taught having a relationship with Jesus Christ until later on when God sent somebody else in to help minister and pastor to me. But folks, I'm telling you, we have to understand that just because you had a bad experience, you can't lump it all together. And we have to just say, God, you thank you for leading and guiding. So we must acknowledge him in every area, every aspect of our life, because it is our lifestyle, not just some frivolous interest. He wants to our full heart, not just half. Anything else is idolatry. And there is or should be no other gods besides him. When we put things in its proper perspective, we will be blessed. And you will not regret. Put God first in your life. See, we can't just say, Lord, I'll pick you up here when I need you. Okay? We can't just say, I'll talk to you, God, when I get a chance or when I need you. We can't just say, Lord, I'll pay attention to you when I need you. You can't do that. But meanwhile, let me engage in this, God. Or let me do this, or let me do that. I'll keep you posted. No, that ain't what God wants. When we do this, we consider, he is considered a frivolous interest. And that is something that's just part-time. You try doing that with a spouse. See how long that relationship lasts. Huh? My wife never gets out of my sight. If she's somewhere, hey, honey, how you going? Miss you. When you coming home? That's what God wants to know. Where you at? What you doing? How come you're ignoring me? I don't mean that much to you? Come on. Try doing that with your spouse. You'll be in some trouble. You'll be sleeping on the couch or in the doghouse, one or the other. I am glad to know that our God is an all-time God. He's an all-time God. He's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, folks. He's not just there part-time or when we need him, but he's there all the time. You see, it's a good thing that we're not God's frivolous interest. Aren't you glad that he just doesn't, don't bother me right now. You don't you know I'm God, I'm busy. I was working over on the other side of the world. I'll get to you when I can. You're such a pest. I'm glad that he's not concerned about me just part-time. Come on. I'm glad he doesn't just pay attention to me part-time. We're not God's frivolous interest. He paid a dear price. There I go with that water again. Brother Alejandro, help me out, buddy. I got to get a thing up here and hang it up here somewhere. But God loves us all the time. He cares about us. Amen? He loves us. And folks, we have to understand that he wants that from us. He died for us. He paid a dear price for us. So we're not just a frivolous interest to him. How often do we do those things that have Jesus as a frivolous interest and fulfilling their flesh? We were out here just fulfilling our fleshly desires. It's what I want. They have Jesus as a frivolous interest in fulfilling their fleshly desires and their lifestyle. They're in church Sunday and spending time with a frivolous interest. Thank you. All right, he does such a good job at that. I'm really helping him to do that really well. For the third time in 2 weeks, brother, I was doing so good. But, you know, I'll just go to church Sunday morning and I'll worship God. That's good enough. I'll just go take care of my frivolous interest, pay my dues. No, he wants you to be in the house of God. That's your strength. Amen. That's that, you know, that cordless drill needs plugged in every now and then. One of these days you're going to go out to use it. And I say, you got to keep it plugged in. That's why we get together. Amen. Go out here and cut a limb off a tree and see how long those leaves last green. You can't separate yourself from the body of Christ, folks. If you think that's important, or if you think you need to do that, or whatever it is, you're fooling yourself. You need the body of Christ. Come on. Who created the church anyways? God did. Jesus. And so we're going to tell God it's not that important. It's important. The Bible tells us don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Even more as the day approaches. As that coming approaches. And I believe that coming is happening, going to be happening soon. Amen? We need it more and more. But we need to understand it's not just here. It's when I get in the car. Amen? It's when I want to yell at somebody because they cut me off on the street. We have to keep that Holy Ghost going. My wife's good about reminding me about that. Just yell at them and then shake their hand and tell them you love God. She's good for me, I promise you. Amen. But see, we have to understand, we have to show that Holy Ghost. No matter, I'm getting better at it, ain't I? Yes, I am. Only took 33 years, but I'm getting better at it. See, they're in church on Sunday, spending time with their frivolous interests, and they enjoy the energy of the church. And it's, wasn't church great? They enjoy the music. They enjoy the preaching. But it's a frivolous interest. Frivolous interest that's, it's enjoyable every now and then. They walk out and they leave Jesus at church, and they go back to their lifestyle of self. What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, we could come every time the doors are open and still could be frivolous interest. Because, see, that's the only time that they try to get spiritual is when they come to church. That's the only time that we talk to Jesus when we come to church. It's a frivolous interest. A lifestyle, folks, is something that we are engaged in on a consistent daily basis. Amen? I don't want to leave Jesus at church and then say, now I'm going to fulfill my fleshly lusts and my desires and leave Jesus aside. Now, listen, I know you don't say that. You don't express that through words, but it's the way your actions are is what says it. You know the old saying, actions speak louder than words? I need God to give me guidance to walk in this place. I need God to give me guidance, and hopefully from the Word of God that we heard that day and the worship that we have, I leave better than when I came in, and it guides me out the door. It guides me to my car. It guides me to my house. It guides me to wherever else I go. And every day, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Amen? You say, well, I can do certain things. Yeah, why are you here? Because before you knew Jesus Christ, whatever lifestyle you live in made a wreck out of you. Come on. I need him when I go to bed. I need him when I wake up in the morning. I need him all day through. 1 Corinthians 6:12, verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself once you've come up here and given yourself to him. He paid a price for you. You're not your own. So don't just live any way you want to live. Jesus, folks, he's our lifestyle. He should be our lifestyle. We got it. We got rid of our old lifestyles and we took on his lifestyle because we're living a life for him. How can you tell those that have Jesus as a frivolous interest? How can you tell those? These people are rarely speak out about God and church on days when there isn't church. Rarely talk to him. Rarely think about him. Rarely read about him. You see, folks, that's how you can tell it's frivolous. He's only thought about when I come to church. He's only thought about when something messes up in my life. That's the only time I talk to him. That's the only time I spend time with him. But those who are really in love with Jesus, they're going to talk about him often in conversations. They're going to talk to him often. Those that are really Jesus is their lifestyle, they're going to think about him often. They're going to read about him often. They're going to reflect him in everything they do. Amen? You can't hide or cover up what somebody really is. Come on. Right? You can tell, folks, you can tell if somebody's a lawyer or a politician. Huh? When they open their mouth, they're lying? No, I'm just kidding. You can tell what people's about by just standing around watching them sometimes, don't you? You can tell if somebody's educated, if they're not. I'm not really educated, but thank God for living for him. It's helped me look a little better. Right? When Jesus was so excited about the open door at the well in Samaria, with the Samaritan woman, and the disciples were looking for something to eat, they said, "Jesus, here's some meat for you." And Jesus said, "I have meat that you know not of." In John 4, verse 31 and 32 says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' And he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that you know not of.'" See, the disciples was in their, they were in their carnal mind. And they said, "Who give him meat?" Jesus said, "I have an open door here." Amen. This woman is running back to town, and we could get a crowd to preach to because the harvest is plenteous. Jesus was excited about being able to help this woman to get to know him. You see what I'm saying? You can see what people are about, folks, by just watching them. And we need to get to that place where we're not always so carnally minded. Because we need to understand it's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. And when we get to that place, when we understand it's not about, I want to do what he wants. I want to do something to please God because I love God. He has helped me. He has blessed my life. He's taken me out of that world of sin. Amen. He's helped me to live a better life. He's cleaned me up. Amen. And when you live your life that way, folks, God will bless you tremendously. Come on, folks. You call yourself a Christian. Don't fight living for God. Make it your lifestyle. Amen. Sometimes we have a hard time accepting change. But the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." We have to start thinking his way, not the way we've always thought. That's the problem sometimes with so many people when they say, "I have such a hard time living for God," it's because you haven't changed your mindset. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. Amen. So here Jesus, he's all excited about this woman. She's going back. She's so excited what she's learned. She's telling other people. Here comes the disciples. "We're hungry, man. Here, God, eat." He says, I don't need that right now. I'm excited what's going on here. And here comes the hungry people of Samaria. We're fixing to have revival. But the disciples wanted to eat. We all know how it is, folks. When we know that we need to do something spiritual, but we're all pumped up to do something carnal. I know I should be going to church tonight, but I'm just tired. I just want to rest. That's that carnal mind. That's that flesh taking over. Who's in charge? Is it that spiritual life? Remember the story of Esau and Jacob? When the mother was pregnant, they said there's two nations. The elder shall serve the younger. That wasn't how it always was in those days. The eldest got the birthright. But see, Jacob got the birthright. The younger. And when you're born again, that younger needs to take control. And the elder, this flesh, needs to serve the younger. And when this flesh says, I don't want to go to church tonight, I'm tired, I did this, I did this, I did that. No. The spiritual part of you, that younger, needs to rise up and say, we're going to church, flesh. We need to be in the house of God where we can be blessed. We can be blessed. Amen? The devil don't want you blessed. He wants you to pay attention to that flesh. So you ask yourself, when we know that we need to do something spiritual and we do something that's carnal, what's going to win? Jesus is a frivolous interest when we can't do the things of God that we know we're supposed to do. We have to do what we know we're supposed to do. If not, then he's a frivolous interest. So someone asked this question, Pastor, how can you say that someone doesn't love God? You don't know their heart, Pastor. Well, on the contrary, what's in their heart is always going to come out in one's lifestyle. What's on the inside will show up on that person. How they talk comes from what's on the inside. How they act comes from what's on the inside. How you dress comes from what's on the inside. How you live comes from down deep in here. What you do comes from down deep in here. What is in your heart is going to show up in your lifestyle. You see, inconsistent Christians are some of the most miserable people. Oh, it got quiet. Let me say it again. Inconsistent Christians are some of the most miserable people. Those that try to make a show, those that try to pass inspection, those who are trying to show themselves to be doing good, those are some of the most miserable people because they treat God and treat church like a frivolous interest. It's something that they can do part-time. See, if they can do it part-time and make some people happy, then everything's going to be okay. But see, folks, that's not okay because the inconsistencies are going to show up in your lifestyle. If Jesus isn't our lifestyle, then whatever is our lifestyle is going to show up. Inconsistent Christians aren't real happy people. Because, you see, they don't have the joy that God brings in your life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? When you have Him, you have the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. Amen? His presence, folks, is not only at church, but it's there whenever I need Him most in my life. Amen? All I have to do is call on the name of Jesus, amen, and He'll be right there. Because, see, He's not just a frivolous interest. He's my lifestyle. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We have reached an age now where carnality, folks, is the norm. Because if you're spiritual, then that means you constantly have to do spiritual things. And to do those things is very bothersome to carnality-minded people. So they'll just put it down. They'll call it self-righteousness. And they'll call it all kinds of things because that's what is accepted now. So when you get together with your peers and you have to talk about those things which are carnal or material, the carnality-minded people don't want to hear about church or who in service got the Holy Ghost or who got a great blessing at church or how the service went because church is over. Why should I talk about what happened in church? That's history. This is just a sign that Jesus is a frivolous interest. Church is not just something, folks, we do just because we should. If we really love God, then church would be our most looked forward to thing to do. And Jesus would be evident in our everyday living when he's our lifestyle. I love coming to church. Amen? I love coming to church. You see, if Paul was meeting someone for the first time, they knew within minutes what Paul was all about. Jesus must become number one priority in our lives. And we can't be an example, folks, in a world, we can't be an example in word or in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in faith, in purity, if Jesus is just a frivolous interest. He should be our first thoughts in the morning, our last thoughts in the evening. What we do, we think it means to love him. When we do what we think it means to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Getting into his presence should be the first thing we do before we do anything else. The reason people go through disappointment, troubles, and trials, folks, is because they don't spend enough time in his presence. He has got to become our lifestyle and not our frivolous interest. And there's just so much in our lifestyle that we don't want to give up. The more things we have in our lifestyle that takes the place of Jesus, the more frivolous interest Jesus becomes. Now, I know we have things to do in our everyday lives, and he says to occupy until he comes. But folks, we must still make sure that we are spending time with the Lord, enough time to where we can do what he wants us to do. So besides church, what else are we doing that is spiritual? How many times have we been guilty of letting our time be consumed with frivolous things and letting things that satisfy this flesh become our lifestyle? The things that of this earth will fade away, but the things of God will last forever. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's got to be our lifestyle. Amen? Everything that we do are involved in has to evolve around him. He's got to be in the center of everything we do. Colossians 3:2-4 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your lifestyle is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When we are so quick to go to those things which we enjoy and put aside the spirituality of Christ and the things of God and relax in the things and become carnal, that becomes our lifestyle, amen? That point where God knows he can't count on us or use us. There's something that we can do, but we got to make him our lifestyle. Let's stand. Is he your frivolous interest, or is he your lifestyle? Lord, we love you today. God, I ask you, Lord, to help us here today. Bless each one, Lord, I pray. And God, I just help us here to leave, Lord, and understand, Lord, that you must be a lifestyle. And God, I just pray, just bless each one here in a mighty way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.